If you could turn with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, we're going to be looking at verses 29 through the end of the chapter. In this passage, Jesus calls his disciples to watchfulness. He wants them to be alert and ready at all times. We as followers of Christ need to be watching. We need to be ready at all times. The Lord may return today. If you could follow along as I start reading in Luke 21 and verse 29. Then he told them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they put forth leaves, you see it and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of all the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Now during the day he was teaching in the temple, but at evening he would go out and spend the night on the mount that is called Olivet. And all the people would get up early in the morning to come to him in the temple to listen to him. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that we can look at your word. And Lord, we ask now that you would speak to us from your word. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts with the needs that are there. Lord, the needs are varying. Many would say they have needs that are different than others. But Lord, your word meets all needs. And Lord, we ask that your word would have its work in our hearts now, that you would strengthen, that you would encourage, that you would convict, that you would, by your grace, work in our lives to change us to be more like you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When Pompeii was destroyed by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius, there were many persons buried in the ruins who were afterwards found in various positions. There were some found in deep vaults. Presumably, they were trying to be safe and secure in those vaults. There were some found in lofty chambers. But where did they find the Roman sentinel? They found him standing at the city gate where he had been placed by the captain, with his hands still grasping the weapon. There, while the earth shook beneath him, there, while the floods of ashes and cinders overwhelmed him, he stood at his post. And there, after 1,000 years, he was found. So let Christians stand by their duty in the post at which their captain has placed them. We see in verses 29 through 31 of our text, we need to recognize the signs that God gives. We need to recognize the signs that God gives. There are many. And we even see here in this passage, Jesus giving a description of some signs that are there and wanting his disciples to recognize them. First of all, in verses 29 and 30, we see God repeatedly shows his power over creation. He repeatedly shows that power that he has over creation. Jesus turned their attention to the consistency of trees. He says, let's consider the trees. He referred to the fig tree specifically, but to all trees generally. It's quite possible that there was a fig tree that was close by. So Jesus singles out the fig tree. His teaching is the same regardless. As you look at trees, they give a very clear indication of what's going on. While the fruit they bear defines the type of tree they are, there are other indications that come to us from the trees. Trees reveal the changes in the seasons. As soon as the leaves start budding, you know that spring is in the air, and many of us, especially here in Erie, are long for that. After a long winter, we're anticipating the trees to start budding, that we understand that spring is coming, and we get excited about that. You know the summer is on the way. Consistently, year after year, trees bud in the spring, show the leaves in the summer, change color in the fall, and are bare in the winter. You can know the season by looking at a tree. Have you ever thought that this is kind of a universal language? It doesn't matter what language you speak, it doesn't matter what country you come from, you can understand looking at trees, and God, through creation of trees, can explain the difference in the seasons. Anyone can look at a tree and understand how the changes of the tree mark the changes of the season. And then we see verse 31, God will reveal when his kingdom is near. Here Jesus refers to the previous passage and those indicators that he gave there that we discussed last week. And just thinking back through some of those, when you see the signs of the sun and the moon and the stars, and when you see the dismay among the nations, and when there is perplexity in the roaring of the sea and the waves, this should all indicate the kingdom of God is near. This should not be a surprise to anyone, yet it will be. Understand that these signs show the kingdom of God is near. So many times, Jesus' disciples had asked about the kingdom. They were curious about it. They wanted to know when it would happen and what it would be like. Jesus is here saying that it will be incredibly obvious when he is on the way. You're going to know. It's going to be clear. After Jesus has just made it clear that it's going to be obvious when it is he will return, he transitions his audience to the fact that it is God that is in complete control of all things. There should be no greater comfort for the believer than to know that God is in complete control. We don't have comfort apart from that. If you serve a God that you say he's not in control, then he's not much of a God. The God we serve is in control of all things. We see verses 32 and 33. We need to rest in the fact that God is in control. We rest in that fact. You cannot really rest if you don't believe that. You're going to have an uneasiness. You're going to have an angst about you if you can't rest in the fact that God is in control. In verse 32, God retains people until his timing. Jesus wanted them to catch this. And therefore, he says, truly. Now, does Jesus really need to say truly? Can't we trust that anything Jesus would say is truth? That should always really catch us when we go through the Gospels and Jesus says something along the lines of, this is true or truly. Well, of course, everything he says is true. But he's saying it to get their attention, help them understand the seriousness of what he is about to say. All of this will take place in God's timetable. There are different suggestions here as to what Jesus meant when he said this generation. Some think it refers to those who are living as Jesus is speaking, but they did not see the aforementioned things, and so that can't be. Most commentators would agree that this is referring to the generation that will be living during the time of the tribulation, just before the second coming of Christ. That generation will actually see the founding of the kingdom of God, something that every Jewish citizen has longed for throughout the nation's history. They've longed to see their Messiah set up the kingdom. We see that all throughout the Gospels. We've seen that in Luke where the disciples are asking about it. They want to see it. Even as we get into Acts in chapter 1, you see the disciples asking about that and when Jesus is ready to ascend back to heaven. They're anticipating that establishment of the kingdom of God. That generation will see Christ come to earth and set up his earthly reign. And then we see verse 33, God relays his word for all eternity. Some things will cease to exist. As Jesus says here, heaven and earth will pass away. He is very possibly thinking of what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 104, verses 24 through 28. It says this, O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days. You whose years endure throughout all generations, of old you lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. Isaiah wrote this in Isaiah 51, 6. He says, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. I would say one of the clearest descriptions is given by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. He says this, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. I wonder, was Peter thinking of this account here in Luke when he wrote that verse? Was he thinking of what Jesus had taught them just before his death? God's word will remain. Jesus makes it very clear that although heaven and earth will pass away, his word will not pass away. God's word will stand. Our confidence comes from what we read in the word of God. You know, we don't find confidence in creation. Although creation shows us things, we can see the change of the seasons. We can see things and learn things from creation. But we don't have confidence in creation. We don't have confidence in family. We don't have confidence in government, in friends, or in anything else. Our confidence comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is sure, steadfast, true, complete, without error, authoritative. It is the Word of God that reveals to us our sinful condition. It's the Word of God that shows us that we have transgressed God's laws. It is the Word of God that tells us we deserve eternity in hell, separated from God. It's the Word of God that communicates to us the virgin birth, the sinless life of Christ, the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. It's the Word of God that shows us our need to repent of our sin and trust in Christ alone for our salvation. It is the Word of God through the Spirit of God that works in hearts to bring men and women to repentance. Jesus said, this will never pass away. There is a statement that is included in both of the parallel passages that Luke does not actually include, but I think it would be good for us just to consider. So I'll read what Matthew 24:36 says. It says this, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So from this, we clearly see that Jesus is referring to the time in which he will return to earth and establish his earthly kingdom. You may ask, why did Jesus say that he did not know when his return would be? Was he not fully God? Didn't he know this? Was he limited in some way? And so we would conclude that Jesus was fully God and fully man while on earth. But while on earth, he voluntarily gave up his knowledge of at least this specific truth. And so at this point, when he is speaking this, he wouldn't have known when that return of him would actually take place. But now, as he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, awaiting his return, he knows exactly when it'll take place. And he's looking forward to it even more than us. While we await that day, how do we live? How do we function awaiting the return of Christ? Of course, in this passage, Jesus is specifically talking about those who are awaiting his second coming, not specifically the rapture, but I would say the principles still apply to us as well. And so as we're awaiting the rapture even, how do we live here on this earth? We see verses 34 through 38. We need to remove our thoughts from the cares of this life. Remove our thoughts from the cares of this life. Has your mind been distracted lately? I think probably all of us can say, I've been distracted by a whole lot of the cares of this life right now. And we see verses 34 and 35, God wants us ready for the return of Jesus. He wants us ready. We're to be ready at all times. Jesus starts this last section of our text with the command to be on guard. This is not simply the idea of watch for the times, but ready yourselves. Jesus, on several occasions, told his disciples something very similar when he said, watch and pray. This is not a time to be idle. Jesus says, be on guard so that your hearts are not weighted down. Now, this isn't talking about our physical heart. It's not saying, don't work out, don't use weights because it's going to hurt your physical heart. That's not what he's getting at. He's talking about our minds, our emotions, our thinking. He's pleading with us to be on guard for our spiritual health. What is it that he says we should not be weighted down with? He says dissipation and drunkenness. Now, we understand the term drunkenness pretty easily, but what about that word dissipation? That might not be as common. The Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary says this. It means this: deceptive desires leading to a lifestyle without discipline, resulting in the dizzy hangovers of drunkenness. The Greek word means deception, often caused by riches or sin. What else does Jesus say weights us down? He says the worries of life. Are you worried about anything? Are you worried about anything right now? Jesus said it will weight you down. It will weight you down if you are worried. In a list from 2015, we're given the top 10 things that people worry about: work, money, being late, someone else's health, our own health, relationships. This one I think is interesting. Missing a plane or bus. I haven't had a plane or bus reservation in years, so it's not something on my list that I would think about. Not waking up to the alarm. Have you ever worried about that? I did just a little this week because I got a new cell phone that's usually my alarm clock, and I set my other alarm clock just in case the new cell phone for some reason wouldn't work right. And I'm sure the other elders appreciated that I was here for our meeting Wednesday morning. You think about those things. Two others, our appearance. I don't care about that. It's pretty obvious, right? And our family's safety. Those are the top 10 things in 2015 that people worry about. I wonder what that list would look like today. Warren Wiersbe said this: during difficult times, it's easy to give up and start living like the unsaved world. There's no place for worry in the life of a believer. Jesus says if we're distracted by worries, then we could be caught off guard when he returns. It will be like getting caught in a trap. Let's not be distracted. No one is exempt from the need to be ready. Jesus reminds us that no one will avoid his second coming. Judgment will be complete. All will be judged. For the believer, they will plead the blood of Christ as their only hope. All others will face eternal judgment. We see verse 36, God will reward those who have been alert. We want to be alert at all times. Jesus says here is the answer to getting distracted, so you're not distracted. Keep on the alert at all times. Never let down your guard. Always be watching your heart, examining your motives based on the Word of God. What will you be doing when Jesus returns? If we're not careful, if we're not keeping alert, we run the risk of disappointing our Savior. We need to pray for God's strength. Jesus does not simply say, keep alert, but he tells how to go about that. He says, pray that you have strength. He does not expect us to do it on our own. He calls on us to call out to God for the help that we need. It's through prayer that we're strengthened to not give up and keep the faith. While there are many churches that have done away with their prayer meeting, it's not something we're going to do here. That is important. It's important for us as believers to pray. We must pray. We must gather to pray with other believers, to raise our voices together to God. We need to understand we will be held accountable. We will all stand before Jesus and give an account. What do we have to offer? We have nothing to offer. It's only on the merits of Jesus Christ that we will be able to enter the kingdom. And then the last two verses of our text. Jesus reached out to people with truth. He reached out to the people with truth. He taught in the temple daily. He gave his disciples and us an example to follow. He did not simply teach once and then conclude he was done. He kept teaching day after day in the temple. He kept presenting the same truths to the people. He remained faithful to his mission. You remember back chapter 19 and verse 10, he said this about his mission. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost. As he's speaking in the temple, he is doing the seeking part. He's presenting himself as the Messiah. He is pointing people to the scriptures and showing them how he is the fulfillment of all the prophecies about the Messiah. The saving part would come in just a matter of days from when he is speaking. In just a matter of days, he would stand to be condemned for crimes he did not commit. He would be sentenced to execution on a cross. He would die the death that we deserved. He would sacrificially give his life as atonement for our sins. He would raise from the dead and present himself alive to many. At night, we see here, he would go to the Mount of Olives. It was probably the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus at Bethany where he was staying. Many wanted to hear what he had to say, we see in the concluding verse. They were getting up early to be able to hear from Jesus, to hear him speak. They were so anticipating being able to hear Jesus. It's amazing to think that in a few short days, the climate would change. It would not take long until the push of the chief priests would win out and Jesus would be crucified. Does life center on the stresses in this world? Or does life center on Christ and on waiting for him to return? Are you ready? Vance Havner said this, "I'm not looking for signs, I'm listening for a sound, the sound of the trumpet, the shout of the archangel. I want to conclude today with reading the last five verses of the Bible, Revelation 22, verses 17 through 21. The Apostle John writes this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues which are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city, which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we long for the return of our Savior. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we anticipate that time, that we would constantly be ready, be praying, be serving faithfully. Lord, we thank you that you give grace, that you work in lives, and we ask that you would empower us to be effective servants for you. In Christ's name.